Amen. As you take your Bibles and turn to Jeremiah chapter 1, as we try and make our way through this first chapter, and certainly I don't plan to camp for years in Jeremiah, so we had a lot going on last week, which set us back a week, but it's good because, you know, we can do a little more introduction work and build the bridge between Jeremiah's life and his ministry in the latter days of the 7th century before Christ came to where we are, for we stand as he did, accountable to the Word of God. And as we look at Jeremiah chapter 1, what continues to be drawn off the page is the Word of the Lord, the Word that the Lord has spoken, my Word that has come from my mouth, as the Lord puts it in verse 12. The Word of the Lord, continually we have this revelation of the Lord for his people, and particularly here for Jeremiah, who he called, he really created in the womb for the specific purpose of declaring the word of the Lord and the difficult message of judgment. Because God was going to fulfill what he had promised would come, curses and rejection and ultimately destruction because of their rebellion against the word of the Lord. What he had revealed to them. You choose to walk and live in your own way, you are choosing consequences upon your head. And the Lord said, the time is now. And Jeremiah, you're going to go tell them. And I asked the question last week, who wants that job? Who wants that job? And we talked about all the things that were going to be destroyed to include the temple of the living God. And you can understand why those in Jeremiah's day say, that's not going to happen. We're going to get some other prophets, false ones albeit, but they're going to give you a different message that there's prosperity and there's longevity and there's life for all of us, so don't worry about this crazy guy with a very harsh message. But that is not foreign to us. As Jeremiah was created and sent forth, are we not in Christ, created in him? And sent forth into a world of darkness, a world of deception, a world that lives according to its own truth and rejects the truth of God? Are we not called and sent forth to be salt and to be light? Have we not been called out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his glorious Son, where we are called to what? To declare. We are called to live out obediently. We are called to testify to the work of the Lord and to what he has promised is coming. I want you to see that Jeremiah shares a calling and shares the word of the Lord as we do. And we are called to move it forward and to declare it in much the same way, in much the same environment. And as Jesus himself promised, with much the same result. You will be hated. You will be maligned, not only by the world, but by those in your own family. You will be mistreated, but what? You stand, Jesus says, with me. Right? Are you greater than the master? If they did that to the master, how much more will they do it to you? They will malign you as well. And so we have this calling as believers to what? Swim against the current. To go against the cultural tide that is sweeping this world away. As the Spirit gave wisdom and utterance to Jeremiah, if you will, how much greater is our position in Christ? Right? Carrying around the Spirit, carrying around his resources, his wisdom, his continual presence with us. And so we must not see it as something, this burden that is placed upon us, as much as all opportunity as being recreated in Christ to declare the good news of the gospel. And we certainly do stand in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is our standing, and that is our message. And so as the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and the Lord said, "You shall speak," has he not called us and given us the same mandate? You shall speak. And by the way, as you're going, make disciples. Right? As you walk and live in this world, allow your light to shine before men that they may see your good works. So both word and action, but what are we heeding? The word that has been revealed to us and the spirit that is given to us that we may testify. Now, to give a little cultural context to this, right, Jeremiah ministered during the times of five kings, and the earliest one was Josiah. And you might remember Josiah. He became king at the age of 8, and during the 18th year of his ministry, there was an important discovery in the temple as it was being renovated, as it was being, if you will, resurrected from disuse and abandonment. They found the book of the law. They found the word of the Lord. And it dramatically changed Josiah's ministry as king, but also, sadly, for a season, and only for a season, did it change those who heard it. And I think it's important for us to understand this, because the word was known by the generation that judgment was coming upon. And it wasn't only known from the outsiders, it was known by those in the inside, because we can see and we can read and we can understand their response to the word that was rediscovered. Just some, like 15 years before the judgment is coming. But they celebrated and they reverenced the word, but they did not receive it and respond to it. And so judgment was not averted, but judgment was hastened upon them because of their rejection, because of what they did. You can read about that in 2 Kings chapter 22. And what follows after the reign of Josiah is really a downward spiral of people who continue to walk further and further away from the Lord, quicker and quicker. But just to think, the message comes in the context of a nation that has just heard and at least in the flesh responded to what was put before them. We've just finished up here a sermon series. The last book of the Bible is from the book of James. What did James tell us? Be doers of the word, not hearers only. That's the challenge of the Christian life. To put into practice what we have heard. And that is our testimony. From Paul to the Philippians in Philippians 2, 14 and 16, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. By your demeanor, by your action, by your response, by your love, by your forgiveness, you will shine in this world. Different, distinguished, as a herald of truth. Verse 16, holding fast to the word of life. Holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ, Paul says, I may be proud that I did not run or labor in vain. And it's that word of life. It's that word of life, the word that Jesus talks about in Mark chapter 4 and in other places where the parable of the sower is recorded. What is the word of God? It is that seed that's thrown into the field. And there are numerous ways that it can be appropriated. There is the one that it vanishes with no root. There's one with shallow roots. Right? There's one that endures for a while. And there's one that brings forth a harvest. And what is it? It is a response to the word of the Lord. What you do with the word of the Lord is vitally important. It is the means by which we live out God's redeeming work in our life. And so we must give attention to the word. So often as you start the new year and your resolutions are fresh in your mind, and they can often incorporate more time in the Word, more intention in the Word, different ways of studying the Word. How you doing? What's your plan for receiving God's truth? How's that mining operation, if you will, going these days? Is truth coming forth? Is it entering in? Are you being exposed to it in a greater and greater fashion? How do you expect to live out the Word if you don't receive the Word? And so we need to give careful attention to what we do and how we pursue and how we pray, so that God will reveal Himself, His Word, to us, so that we can walk in it and be faithful. We need to understand, brothers and sisters, that it just doesn't happen. Diligence and discipline and determination and certainly dependence upon the Spirit of God is required for us to be those who know and understand the Word of God, so that we can walk and live in the will of God. The objective is not knowledge at the end of the day, it's obedience that drives, is driven by our faith. We know Him. We know Him, we believe Him, so we obey Him. It is the new covenant church that shares this calling to know God and to walk in Him, in His wisdom, in intimacy with Him. Just as we read that Jeremiah enjoyed that privileged position with the Lord. So we turn our eyes to Jeremiah. Again, just to look back to verses 5 through 8. The Lord says to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, 'Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth.' But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say, I am only a youth, for to all whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak.'" The Lord's call on Jeremiah's life, so clear. It wasn't one of possibility, it was one of certain proclamation. It was one that he was created for, and one office, one mission, one calling in which he had no excuse. Sent forth, verse 8, with a promise, "Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." What a great promise. Don't be afraid of them, for I will be with you. But then you have to deliver you. What do you need to be delivered out of? Things that threaten you. Things that, you know, that are imperiling you. Things that could kill you. And God says, "Don't be afraid of them. I've got your back. I'll see you through. I'm going to deliver you, so you can experience more of it. In a greater fashion." So for what purpose? So you can testify more. So you can stand in faith. So you can deliver powerfully the message that I've put upon your lips and put in your heart and called you to declare. We have Jeremiah's ministry and his mission clearly laid out. And his mission and his ministry was the Word. It was the Word. "I've appointed you to be a prophet. I'm going to tell you what to say. I'm going to send you out, and I'm going to command you to speak, and you shall speak. You have a job of declaring my Word." Isn't that comforting? Jeremiah didn't have to go home and come up with a speech. He didn't have to put it together. Very akin very close to Jesus' promise to his disciples in Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, as he sends them out, he gave them authority to cast out and to heal disease. To be what? A minister of the word of God and the truth of God, that the kingdom is at hand, it says in verse 7. That's what you're to proclaim. Verse 15 of Matthew 10, truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. The message is the same. Judgment is real. Amen. And you're going to face it. Why? Because you've heard. You're responsible for what God has revealed to you. And he says to those disciples he's sending out in verse 16, behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Humanly speaking, not the place you want to be. But what? So be wise as serpents and the innocence of doves. Beware of men, because they're going to deliver you over to courts and they're going to flog you. In their synagogues, you'll be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness, to speak about me to them and to the Gentiles. And when they deliver you over, don't be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. I mean, you put Jeremiah chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 10 side by side, the calling is the same. Judgment is coming. Declare the word of the Lord. Depend upon me in the opportunities I give you. Your mouth will be filled with wisdom beyond your knowledge, beyond your understanding, and you will be able to be my witness. Matthew 10:21, life's going to be hard. Brother will deliver brother over to death. My brother's visiting in town. I wonder if that's his intention. Don't know. Jesus said, it's going to happen. Right? The father's child, I mean, these most intimate and close relationships will be upended because of the father's work in the lives of his people here on this earth. As you declare, there is a certain consequence that is going to come upon you. Children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Right? When they persecute you, you move on. And know that persecution is coming. If they called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? That's the good news. You stand with Jesus. You stand with the one who has the sovereign authority over all. We talked about in depth last week the sovereignty of God over nations, over kingdoms, over individuals, over religious systems, over history, over all creation. At every level, the sovereignty of God is clearly exerted and is working out his will. So take Matthew 10:26 to heart. Have no fear of them. That's crazy. They're going to kill you. They're going to betray you. Have no fear of them. And we can see in this, there's something greater than earthly life. There's something greater than being welcomed by the crowd, by having a place and a standing in this world. There's something greater than ease and comfort
It's being what Christ has called you to be a disciple of His and to declare His gospel, His glory, to make sure that you put before individuals that judgment is real, but grace abounds and provides a way through the judgment. And as you stand with God and follow Him faithfully, you have no fear of them, even though they kill the body and the soul. They cannot kill the soul. I'm sorry. Oh, they can only kill the body. They cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear Him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Coming on the context of what? Going out and testify. Going out and declare what has been revealed to you. Go out and do the hard work of standing in the place of God's truth and God's righteousness and declare to a world that does not want to hear it that would gladly wipe you out. Verse 32 of Matthew 10, so everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Think about that in the context of what we're talking, declaring the word of God, being faithful to what He's called us to. You know, what's going to silence us? Fear? Consequence? Rejection, loss of job, loss of opportunity, loss of resources, loss of life. Those are the opportunities we have to testify that God is real and there is something beyond this world that is infinitely greater to live for. You know, we forget what Jesus says in verse 34. Don't think I've come to bring peace on the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. I have come so that men and women, boys and girls will make a decision. Right? I'm going to bring the message of truth. And we're going to discern what's in the heart and what drives. God is bringing the message of truth through the mouth of Jeremiah. He is bringing it so that as His will is unfolded, they certainly stand accountable, they stand warned, and they stand prepared to receive rightfully what God is bringing. Verse 9 of Jeremiah chapter 1, the Lord put out His hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Comprehensive mission that Jeremiah has been sent on. One of destruction and one of construction. Right? It does both. The word of the Lord does both. As Osaro read from 2 Corinthians this morning. Right? We're the fragrance of Christ to those who are alive and to those who are dying. The message goes forth and it finds its place, its resting place, affirming the truth of God. God came to Jeremiah and He said, I put my word in your mouth. See, I have set you this day. There is a designation, an appointment that Jeremiah has received and he is accountable to God. By calling, by ministry, by mission, by what he has received from God's hand, he is accountable to God for what has been revealed. Last week we had communion, and during the communion time we looked to Jeremiah 31, the new covenant.
part of the new covenant church. The new covenant in Jesus Christ. Having been redeemed by His blood. Having our sins forgiven. Having His word put within us. From Jeremiah 33 and following. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, declares the Lord, this is what the Lord is going to do in the new covenant. I will put my law within them. And I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, I will forgive their iniquity and will remember their sins no more. You understand, in the new covenant, Jesus writes his law upon their heart. Upon the hearts of his people. And not just to be received, but to be worked out, lived out in this world. Jeremiah received his calling. Have we not received a greater installment? Humanly speaking, as the Spirit is implanted in the lives of His people, and salvation is worked out by the blood of Christ on the cross, and moving forward, that we walk and we live no longer confined to our own resources, but now availed to all the wisdom of God through the Spirit within His people. Know and understand that the mission is comprehensive. It is one with an objective to tear down and one to build up. Now that doesn't give you a right to get a hammer fixed in your hand and go out and smash. But as you declare the truth and you erode the foundation of earthly humanistic wisdom, as the Spirit of God moves you to declare and to deliver the hammering blows against the foundations of humanistic thinking, the Word will do the work. As the words flowed from Moses' lips, it hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Right? The words of Jesus, as He ministered on this earth, hardened the hearts of those who heard Him to the point they gnashed their teeth and crucified Him on a cross. The Word is a powerful working instrument in the hand of God, delivered through the mouths of His servants, through the lives of His servants, to break down, to destroy, to overthrow, and to build up, and to plant. Verse 11, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? He said, I see an almond branch. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. All right, he's given him two visions here in Jeremiah chapter 1. The first one is of an almond branch. In kind of an odd conclusion, he says, here's an almond branch. And I'm giving you this vision of an almond branch to let you know that I know my word and I'm going to fulfill it. An almond branch is an odd thing. It is a declaring species of plants. The almond branch buds when everything else is dormant. It's an indicator of what's to come. When the almond branch begins to bud, there is certainty that spring is near. That the regeneration, the rebuilding, if you will, of spring is coming. It's indicating what is going to happen. And God gives
Jeremiah this vision of this almond branch, and guess what? It's budding, and you know what's coming. Something big, important, to take note of.
And as you look to the almond branch for the hope of spring, fertility of soil that will bring in a harvest so you can exist, Jeremiah has been given a message of judgment. He's been told to go and declare. And you're an indicator, Jeremiah. Your message is going to declare. It's a signpost of certainty for what's coming. But in that vision, that first one, understand that the word I put in your mouth and the word I call you to declare, it is as certain as me. Trust me. It's coming. The word of the Lord, verse 13, came to me a second time saying, "What do you see?" And I said, "I see a boiling pot facing away from the north." And the Lord said to me, "Out of the north, disaster shall be let loose upon all the inhabitants of the land. For I am calling all the tribes of the kingdoms of the north, declares the Lord, and they shall come, and every one shall set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against all its walls, all around, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will declare my judgments against them. For all their evil and forsaking me, they have made offerings to other gods and worshipped the works of their own hands." So you got the Lord coming to Jeremiah, confirming, if you will, by the vision that he gives to him, that this judgment is certain. It's an impending judgment. Jeremiah declares what will be. And what will be is disastrous for those who live forsaking him, for those who live serving something other than him, and those who live, oh, in such 21st century ways, worshiping themselves. Right, this message isn't foreign to us, and the ministry and the calling isn't foreign to us. It is us. And here, God has the sovereign control over nations. Someone here served in Operation Desert Storm, Desert Shield. This is Operation Judgment. Right? There's no relenting, there's no backing off. When the Lord brings it, he brings it. His priority is bringing consequence and ultimately justice to a disobedient people who have rejected him. He gives the details of the invasion. Right, this boiling pot is pouring out, if you will, from the north, and you get in your mind the vision of this boiling pot with the steam and the bubbling and the overflow that comes out of it, and the destruction it brings upon that which it falls. Talking about the coming of Babylon. Right, all this time is ripe, if you will. In the fullness of time, God brings his judgment. Assyria is waning and falling off of the scene. That which carried the northern tribes into captivity is just about done itself. Nineveh has fallen, and Haran has become, if you will, the de facto capital of Assyria, and Egypt is wanting to have a play in the midst of all of this, and Babylon is over here to the east, and things are moving according to God's plan, perfectly on schedule. The
clouds are building, the enemies and the armies are gathering and coalescing and coming together, and the Lord is moving perfectly in accordance with His wisdom and His will and His grace. He's coming to bring judgment because of their rejection, because of their replacement of Him.
Which brings me to this point, and really a point of application, is the responsibility of revelation.
If you hear and know the Word of God, you've received the understanding of Christ and His work, and you call yourself a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is your Lord and your Savior, know this, you have a responsibility to what you've received.
The first thing we see here, Jeremiah, is prepare. Verse 17, but you, Jeremiah, dress yourself for work. I've got some things for you to do.
Yeah, destruction's coming. These armies are coming. It's not time to build a bunker.
Right? It's not time to build some sort of seed vault so you have some sort of sustenance. Because let me tell you, what's coming isn't going to be prepared for other than repentance and heeding my word.
But dress yourself for work. Prepare. How are we preparing ourselves to engage this world with His truth?
It's an important thing to consider.
Right? How are you going to dress yourself for faithful ministry to Almighty God?
And yeah, we go to Ephesians chapter 6 and we read about the spiritual armor, right? The helmet of salvation, right? The sword, and the shoes, and the belt, the breastplate, and all these things that are set to ensure that there is vitality, that there is faithfulness for the person of God to stand firm.
But are you outfitted with them?
You go into battle without your helmet? Without your plate armor?
You go into battle barefoot?
Right? It's great to have all these things, and we can quote the verses and we can look at them, but are you wearing them?
Are you dressed for work? Do you know the word of the Lord? Do you know your calling? Do you know what He is going to do?
Kind of know what the work is to prepare for it.
But when you know what the work is, you dress accordingly.
Right? If you're going to work the football game, that's been moved to Monday up in Buffalo, you're going to dress a little differently. Knowing they're, you know, expecting feet of snow.
You're going to show up like you might in Miami, right? In flip-flops and shorts.
The work determines how you dress.
Action is required.
Preparation is required.
And say to them, verse 17, but you, dress yourself for work, arise. It's time to get going. And say to them everything that I command you.
The job is not to come up with a nice stump speech or something cute to say, or string together a few things that are culturally amusing. Right? What a directive for the church.
Right? Say to them everything that I command you.
Is that not the heart of the Great Commission as well?
Teaching them to obey all that I have commanded. Right? Our job is to relay. Our job is to represent in a very clear and compelling way the truth of God.
Thirdly, we're called to be resilient.
Right? We receive, and so we prepare. we proclaim, so we relay what we have received. We're resilient. We persevere. Do not be dismayed by them.
And what can they do? Matthew chapter 10, they can kill you.
Yeah.
And take everything you have, earthly speaking, they can kill you. Don't be dismayed by them.
Don't back down. Don't surrender the eternal things for the earthly things. Live with conviction. Live with courage. Stand firm. Be resilient. Do not be dismayed by them.
I wish there was a period there.
Don't you?
If you knew it was coming, you'd say yes.
You would say yes.
If you want to take your bulletin home, I put it there on the front to characterize this sermon.
Do not be dismayed by them, lest...
See, there's responsibility here. There's accountability.
Judgment is coming to what the Lord has said. And the Lord has said, do not be dismayed by them.
Lest I dismay you before them.
Wow.
Think about that. The responsibility required to be faithful to what he has called us to.
He tells Jeremiah, do not be dismayed by them, lest if you stumble and fall and choose something other to live for, something other to speak, then guess what? I'm going to dismay you before them.
I'm going to show you to be a fraud.
Because you're going to be saying something I didn't tell you. You're going to be saying something to gather supporters. You're going to be saying something to build a congregation, to get pats on your back, to put wealth in your pocket. You're going to do something that's not of me. And you will be the one standing as a fool. You see, as we stand faithfully on the Word of God, declaring the words of God, we cannot fail. Backed up by God Himself.
Oh, what a privileged position we have.
Oh, what responsibility to declare, to prepare, to proclaim, to preserve, persevere in His truth. Calls us to action. Steadfastness, courage, conviction, things that are lacking these days. And ultimately, if they're lacking, it comes back to faith. You really don't believe what you say. You really don't believe that Jesus is the only way. You don't really believe that Jesus died in the place of sinners. You don't really believe that He is the truth and the life, and that there is no other way unto God, unto the Father, except through Him. We need to be convictional people who relay the message, who are responsible and resilient, who are upheld by the strength and the might of God's right hand. Verse 18, and I, behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. And can you think of a better, more encouraging word that could come from the Lord? Right? The pot up north of you is coming down upon your head. That's the message. And what does God say to Jeremiah? Don't worry about the judgment.
It's not going to touch you.
What have I made you? I've strengthened you. You're a fortified city. There's no army going to come against you. You're an iron pillar. You will stand in the midst of the judgment. You're a bronze wall. It is impenetrable. Against the whole land. Against the king. its officials, its priests. Very insightful.
The priests who were purported to speak for God knew nothing of him.
Sad. Indicative of many, many churches.
And not only the kings, its officials, its priests, but the people of the land as well.
Be strengthened in what God has provided for his people. He delivers them out of wrath. His wrath poured out as he did the children of Israel as they were in Egypt. The wrath of God was poured out. The firstborn's life was taken away, and not one misstep by God. Perfectly safe and secure, even in the midst of a world under judgment. Right? He doesn't need to take us out. He is strategic. The snipers of all sniper. Right? He doesn't miss. And he gives this promise that only strengthens and encourages him for his calling. But no, it's not going to be easy. But two things. One, it's a fight. And we need to understand that God has not called us to the comfortable ease that we would like to think he has. He didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. He came to bring disruption. He came to call out those who are his. It tells us the battle is before us. They will fight against you. But remember what you are. Right? You're built on the rock. You're solid, you're firm, you will withstand. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. Right? Know and understand the battle is certain. Last of the Beatitudes, blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. It's a blessing to stand with Christ, to partake in his sufferings. To show forth faith and obedience as Christ did, as he gives strength to you through his Spirit. Oh, what a light shines in the darkness of this world. So don't fret. They're going to fight against you, but they won't prevail. It's a message of victory. It's a message of hope. It's a message for endurance and perseverance. And why is this? And here's the great promise at the end. The end of chapter 1 of Jeremiah. And we can't forget this as we work our way through it. And as we hear and read and understand the travails of Jeremiah, understand this. The promise of the Lord, I am with you. I'm with you to deliver you. The Lord stands with his people. The Lord stands there to deliver you. Oh, they may kill you, but they can't take your soul. They can take all your earthly possessions. They're all rusting and passing away anyways. Nothing goes forward with you in an earthly sense. Oh, but when you hear the word of the Lord and you understand what he's called you to and you show up for the fight and you stand in faithfulness and you understand that the Lord is with you to deliver you. You don't run and you don't hide, but you stand with boldness and you declare the word he's given you. In that he is glorified and you fulfill your calling that he has made upon all of his people. Jeremiah, Peter, Paul, Lydia, Dorcas. You read, right? It's that, to walk and live in faithfulness. And what did Jesus tell his disciples? He said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Things haven't changed. The calling, the mission, the relation, the relational reality, he is with his people. And that needs to change us. That needs to cause us to understand his word and to live it out in greater faithfulness, with greater intention, with a greater focus in our life.
And oh, how that it highlights the importance of the church. And I'll move to close with this. The church has really but one thing to hold out. The life preserver, if you will. It is the word of the Lord that tells us the working of the Lord, that discloses the love of the Lord, and opens our eyes to the grace of the Lord so that we can understand the mercy of the Lord, so that we can have the Lord and his love and his grace and his mercy transform us as he calls and creates and recreates. The elders of the church give great attention to making sure, as much as dependent upon us, that the word of God is lived out and held out at this church. I came across this in preparation. It was from a pastor in Rochester, New York. But he writes this. He says, "Shockingly and ironically, the priests lost the word of God in the house of the Lord. This account should serve as a great warning to us as Christians living in the 21st century. Often we misconstrue the identity of our true foe. In a culture becoming increasingly secularized, one in which there is growing hostility to the Bible, we think the greatest threat to God's word is the animosity of the world, when it is actually apathy in the church. If the word of God is lost in our age, it will not be because the world has snatched it from our hands. It will be because we lost it in the house of the Lord. The biggest threat to the word of God is our own neglect of it in our churches and in our homes. As in the Old Testament, the primary responsibility to avoid losing the word of God falls upon the shoulders of those called to protect, preserve, and proclaim it." May that stand as a warning, as an encouragement for us as we embark on this year together, to hold each other to the word of God, to speak to each other the word of God, and to declare to the world around us the word of God. Praise be to God that he is with us, that he is at work around us, that he has told us that life will be hard and difficult, and ministry is hard and difficult, and faithfulness can be very hard and very difficult, but he's with us. And not only with us, he will deliver us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for such a promise. Thank you for such a calling that is so undeserved. God, help us to realize the depth of your love and your grace, even in the midst of a message of justice and judgment. Lord, there is an overflowing, abundant amount of grace. Grace given to your people. Grace of strength, of wisdom, of knowledge, perseverance, and standing. Lord, I pray that for each one in here who knows you this morning. May we not back down, shy away, surrender to an inferior force or desire from within, but help us to stand strong.
Lord, to put on that armor that you've provided for us, that we would be able to stand firm. And when everything is done, we're still standing. Help us. Help us to help each other.
Strengthen us, we pray, Father, by your Spirit. And give us courage for the days ahead. May we love you more as we follow you more faithfully. And you encourage us through your faithfulness.
Father, I pray that if there's one in here who doesn't know you, Lord, who right now in this moment is still under judgment because they stand accountable to you because of sin. Lord, I pray that you would bring conviction, that you would open their eyes, that you would humble them, that you would bring them to their knees, and that, Lord, help them to understand the unsurpassed, unmatched work of Christ on the cross. The righteous for the unrighteous. The perfect for the sinner. The worthy for the unworthy. And Lord, may you bring life and hope and peace and put your word in them and your Spirit.
God, do your work in this hour in each one of us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.